Stay tuned for some startling statistics you need to know.
U.S. life insurance companies have reported an overwhelming and unexplainable increase in all-cause deaths among 18 to 49-year-olds. Along with that, there's also been an increase in certain medical diagnoses, such as miscarriages and Bell's palsy.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with respected health expert Twyla Braes. The Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization says there are at least 11 viruses waiting to produce the next pandemic. Other experts say to prepare for more lockdowns this fall. Where can we go for the truth as it concerns these issues? Stay tuned. We'll hope to provide some truth this hour. Here is today's program.
It is a staggering number we never could have imagined. 1 million Americans now dead from COVID. And just moments ago, a moment of silence in the nation's capital. Lawmakers gathered on the Capitol steps to mark this somber milestone. Flags are being lowered to half-staff across the country. This as cases and hospitalizations are back on the rise. New Jersey reporting its highest positivity rate since January, now nearly 17%. Connecticut is more than 13%, and New York more than 7%. Eyewitness News reporter Lauren Glassberg is in the newsroom with more. Lauren?
Sade, 1 million deaths nationwide, 112,440 of those in the tri-state area alone. Those numbers are hard to process when a little more than 2 years ago, things like positivity rates, PCR tests, and pandemic weren't really part of our vocabulary, let alone part of our daily conversation.
Welcome to the program, Say. I think a lot of people are saying COVID is behind us. Many of us have both physically and mentally moved on from the pandemic. But what lies ahead? More COVID or other illnesses that will be used to control people? How dangerous is this new, well, they call it a strange name, monkeypox. What's that all about? So the globalists needed a crisis in 2019 and early 2020, and they found one, and it changed the way 200 nations on the planet operated for a couple of years. We're now about 2.5 years out from the initial time when all of this was introduced, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. We're going to be dealing with some health issues this hour, and when I do touch that topic, I like to have in studio, as she operates out of the Twin Cities, as do I, and that would be Twyla Braes from Citizens Council for Health Freedom. We're going to talk about a lot of things. You might want to grab pen and paper and just jot some notes, because we're going to move real quickly, just in the interest of getting a lot of information into this hour. Twyla, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Oh, I'm very glad to be here. Thanks so much.
Where to begin? As I said, 2.5 years since the ordeal began. It's not over. It's surging in Europe. This is COVID starting to even surge in the U.S. and other parts of the world. What do you see ahead? And we're going to talk about some other issues too, but what do you see ahead as far as COVID, the toll it could continue to take? What do you see by way of people complying? Because fear is a tremendous driver to comply.
You started your clip with 1 million people have died. I would just like to remind your listeners that 1 million people need not have died. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, according to Dr. Riesch at Yale and Dr. Peter McCullough, there's somewhere in the 500,000 to 800,000 people who would have been saved by early treatment. Mm-hmm. Let us not forget this. People on the other side who really like the kind of control that COVID handed them, they love to raise this number. But the number that you should be raising back at anybody who raises this number is Dr. Riesch's number and Dr. McCullough's number, and reminding them that if there'd just been early treatment, we would have had a much smaller thing going on. A lot of us would have had normal lives for the last 2.5 years.
Well, if certain medications had been allowed to be used.
Exactly right. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, there's a whole roster of medications. People have had to get them from other states. Actually, I just helped somebody recently get some from Tennessee because the legislators in Tennessee decided that it could be over-the-counter without a prescription. So there are pharmacists in Tennessee helping people all around the country get ivermectin. There's still people getting it from India. And because there's COVID, so you brought up the question about COVID. So COVID is still happening. It's multiple variants now. They tend to say that it is not as virulent, but it is more transmissible. Mm-hmm. There are still people dying of COVID and being hospitalized of COVID, although I think we all wonder about the numbers, we wonder about the PCR tests. We know that it was all hyperinflated in the beginning. I don't know exactly what's going on now. Are these mostly people with comorbidities that we're talking about here? It's hard in the United States to get good information.
I just lost a friend. She was a little older. She had no comorbidities, but she passed last week from COVID, yes. It's still happening.
It's still happening, right?
Yeah, still happening. And we're not leaving COVID here, but what about just because folks are asking, is monkeypox next? What a strange name for a disease. And you told me off air it's heavily affecting young men. Talk to me a little bit about it.
So the statistics that came out of the CDC are 95.5% men. And then the median age is 35 years old, although it does go all the way up to 69 years old. Initial reports were that it was within the gay community. I know that that's not talked about very much anymore. I have no idea whether that's true. But the fact of the matter is the CDC itself says it's men. And the other thing is that it needs close exposure. So this is not something like COVID, which floats in the air and which is an aerosol. This is something that needs close exposure.
Could it eventually require a vaccine? This is the mentality in Washington. That's all I'm raising here.
Well, they've pulled out the vaccine. They've ordered the vaccine for it. I just can't remember if it's available, but it's definitely coming. The United States has already paid for it, so there will be a vaccine if there isn't one already.
Okay. I have in front of me from Health Impact News, WHO, World Health Organization, recommends masks again, preps world for another global lockdown in the fall. I'll just read a paragraph, and then I want your response. The WHO is preparing the world for the next season of lockdowns, refusing to admit the emergency is over and recommending governments implement mask mandates. One more sentence here. I'm concerned that the cases of COVID-19 continue to rise. I believe this is Mr. Tedros. I'm using his first name, last name, too difficult. I'm concerned that cases of COVID-19 continue to rise, putting further pressure on health systems and health workers. I'm also concerned about the increasing trend of deaths. The Emergency Committee on COVID-19 met on Friday last week and concluded the virus remains a public health emergency of international concern, said WHO Director General Tedros, again using his first name. He says, as hospitalizations and transmissions rise, governments must also deploy tried and tested measures such as masking, ventilation, test treatment protocols, etc. Your thoughts on this particular news announcement? Again, Health Impact News, WHO recommends, goes on to say, another global lockdown in the fall.
Well, I'm very, very glad that I live in the United States, because the one thing about the United States is that we have the Constitution and we have states' rights and we have governors who actually know about the Constitution and hold to states' rights and don't listen to the World Health Organization. The other thing about what you have just said there is masks. So masks are not tried and true.
Right.
Masks are known that they don't work. The CDC has actually said the only ones that work are the N95s. And of course, the N95s themselves, most of them are not face fit over anybody's faces. They are only working if they're face fit. So the idea that the WHO comes out and claims that this is true, when actually before this whole pandemic happened and in the very early stages of it, they said that universal masking was not recommended and it wouldn't work because the masks don't work. So this is so strange that they say this. And the other thing is about the health system. So I just have to say this, because the real stress on the health system is what they did with lockdowns. The idea of doing more lockdowns and keeping more people out of the healthcare system and keeping more people languishing with the healthcare conditions that they have and maybe dying unnecessarily at home, it is the lockdowns and the shutdowns themselves that caused the problem in the healthcare system in multiple ways.
Yes.
One, for about a year and a half, people waited to get the care that they needed, and now they're all coming. But they took the healthcare people out of the system, one, by shutting down the system, and a bunch of people said, you know what, I'm done for the rest of my life, I'm retiring, right? And they're not coming back. And then they told a bunch of the nurses and the doctors and the respiratory therapists, we don't need you because you aren't vaccinated. Even though the vaccine isn't going to keep anybody from getting COVID, even though it's not going to keep you from getting COVID or giving COVID, they still shut them out. And now they're saying that COVID is the problem with the healthcare system. The problem with the healthcare system is the shutdowns. So the World Health Organization should not even be talking about lockdowns and shutdowns ever again.
Well, you have in front of me Gates-funded international organization names 11 viruses as potential candidates for the next pandemic. And then the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, Gavi, identified 11 viruses that have the potential to cause the next pandemic. I'm not going to go into them, but Gavi is listing viruses that have the potential. The first mention is Rift Valley Fever, Hantavirus, another coronavirus. I'm just reading a few here. Lassa Fever, Yellow Fever. They've listed 11. My point, I think, is the mindset of the federal folks is that we need to keep pandemic pandemonium going because that generates fear, and fear generates compliance to what the government is asking. Am I off base there?
No, you're not off base. And there are a lot of tyrants to be and tyrants in the making and tyrant wannabes. And if they can just keep the entire global population, what a sense of power they all have over the world. The fact of the matter is we have had infectious diseases, including the ones that you're talking about. We've had them for decades and decades. This, to my mind, is fear-mongering. If they really wanted to, they should start fear-mongering about seasonal flu, but they haven't done that. Thousands of people die from seasonal flu, but nobody's walking around the streets wondering in fear that they have to have masks for seasonal flu. That's not true. So I think a little bit about this is the wanting to keep us all under control. And the other thing is clickbait. There's a lot of people and organizations that just want to keep their name in the news and say something that will get them noticed in the media.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio with me Twyla Brace from Citizens Council for Health Freedom. You can learn more at cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. Twyla was listed as one of the 100 most influential people in medicine some years ago now. If you're wondering, well, who am I listening to and why should I put any credibility in what she has to say? You also have a book and the title of it is Big Brother in the Exam Room.
Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records, and it is at the printer now for its third printing.
Great, and they can find that at
bigbrotherintheexamroom.org. You can get on the list for it because we've got quite a list going, and this one will have an index, so you can find anybody's name, anybody's anything in that book.
I'm moving on here just to a subject that I think is somewhat sensitive. I'm going to introduce it with a clip by Jesse Waters because Dr. Deborah Birx, and she's got a new book out. The book is called Silent Invasion. In the book, she confesses that she devised, her words, she devised a strategic sleight-of-hand method of reporting that she described as subterfuge. You folks would remember her as the Scarf Lady. Jesse Waters brought this into light recently.
Remember the spring of 2020, the heart of the pandemic? We were told to mask up, social distance, and stay home, or we were all going to die. And for a while, we listened. But then we realized something was off. It almost seemed like our health experts were just making things up as they went along. And it turns out we were right. Deborah Birx, Trump's White House coronavirus response coordinator, the one with the fancy scarf collection, admitted to making things up in her new tell-all book. Birx reveals that she and Dr. Fauci were lying to the president and to the American people about their COVID protocols. She admits to making things up, altering COVID reports, and misinforming us in the name of public safety, starting with their old slogan, 15 days to slow the spread. Remember that one?
We've really worked on messaging to the American people about these 15 days to stop the spread. I know it's a lot to ask because you've done it for 15 days. It's what we've been talking about in the 15 and 30 days to prevent the spread.
That whole thing about 15 days was bull. Birx knew very well that 15 days wasn't the magic number. There was no magic number. In her book, she writes this: no sooner had we convinced the Trump administration to implement our version of two-week shutdown, then I was trying to figure out how to extend it. So that 15 days to slow the spread was just a sneaky way to get their hooks into us so they could lock us down for longer. And if you dared to leave your house, Birx told us the only way to stay safe was to social distance.
It's everybody social distancing by 6 feet when they're outside. And that is probably absolutely the key more than anything else, is if you're never more than, if you're never within 6 feet of any single individual, then you've controlled the virus.
Stay 6 feet apart. I mean, she just made that up. And limit your gatherings to 10 people. They told us it would save lives. Well, surprise, surprise, those numbers were made up too. Burke says, I had settled on 10, knowing that even that was too many. But I figured the 10 would at least be palatable for most Americans, high enough to allow for most gatherings of immediate family, but not enough for large dinner parties and critically large weddings, birthday parties, and other mass social events. So she basically wanted to keep people from getting married and celebrating the holidays. And if you thought that was shady, listen to this. Burks didn't just make up rules. She was also altering COVID data in weekly reports, so states would have a reason to escalate their COVID protocols. And then when it comes to the origins of the virus, it seems Deborah Burks knew about the lab leak thing all along. She told the Daily Mail that COVID came out of the box ready to infect. She also claimed that the virus was being worked on by scientists in Wuhan. Which is interesting because in the spring of 2020, she said this.
I don't have an evidence that it was a laboratory accident. These are zoonotic events. They come from animals into humans. And so figuring that out will be really critical, as well as figuring out, could it have happened in the lab? Right now, the general consensus is animal to human.
Twyla Brace, I remain puzzled why the former President Trump, and particularly Mike Pence, in charge of all of this, first of all, tapped into a bunch of leftists, Deborah Burks, Anthony Fauci, Redfield, all of them leftists. They gave the country to these leftists who turned around and literally destroyed the lives of millions of people. And Deborah Burks, in her book, Silent Invasion, is admitting to all of this.
One of the things that I have always thought about the Trump administration, unfortunately, is healthcare is a very difficult issue. And I think with healthcare, as with many, many people around the country, they would just prefer, because it's so complex and it's been made that way by all these third parties, they would just prefer that somebody else would figure it out. And so I think the easiest thing for Pence was just to go to these people already in the department and say, handle it, make this happen. But President Trump started to figure out that this was not the way, that these people were not on the side of the American people. And that's why I believe he brought in Dr. Scott Atlas, who started to advise him. And then he would get up there at the podium and he'd say what Dr. Scott Atlas told him and all these wonderful things and all these true things. And then, unfortunately, he would let Burks and Fauci and Hahn and all these folks come up to the podium and then say the complete opposite thing. And I think there was the problem, is that really he just needed to disband the entire White House task force on coronavirus. He could have asked Scott Atlas, pull together an entire team for me because I'm going to get rid of these people. But unfortunately, according to Scott Atlas's book, the politicos in Trump's life told him that Burks was somebody that the American people found comforting, and it would be bad for his election to get rid of her. And that's an unfortunate thing.
That's unbelievable. As we are speaking, and it's been apparent now for months, if not longer, that these so-called vaccines, and you have said on this program, and you've been on this program a half dozen times with these related issues, the vaccine isn't a vaccine. Why don't you just give us a sentence why that's true? We have new listeners. Why is the current vaccine that's being offered not a vaccine?
There is knowledge as to what a vaccine is, and what a vaccine does is it provides the individual with immunity. And the definition of immunity means that it prevents you from ever getting the illness, just like tetanus does.
Sure.
Nobody gets tetanus. But the CDC has been altering the definition of vaccine, particularly during COVID, to make the definition fit what they want it to be, which is something that just protects you from severe illness but doesn't prevent you from getting the disease. So it's really not a vaccine.
There are tons of people who are vaccinated and they're being hospitalized, they're dying for that matter. This alone has caused people mentally to move on from all of this and say enough is enough, because what you offered us, Burks, Fauci, all of you, it's kind of a joke. But the thing is, I'm just reading statistics and I'm reading articles from reliable sources that say by fall, it's all coming back.
It's not going to all come back in the wild version. The alpha version and the delta version is coming back in variants if it does come back. And those variants do tend to be less virulent and more transmissible.
My point is people are moving on because they're seeing the fact that the vaccines aren't all that effective. Folks are still getting sick. Folks are still dying. Oh, yeah. And in the process, the medical system has not only been harmed, it's been seriously harmed.
Yes. So this is something that just floors people because they believe the promise that if I got vaccinated, which is actually injected, if I got injected, I would not get COVID. Biden himself said that. And it's not true. Even the ABC News said back a while ago, the number of people who were getting reinfected, hospitalized, dying, et cetera, was at the 18.9% level. And then as of May 2022, it's at the 40% level. It's harder to get information in this country. So it could be even higher than that. I do not know, because in other countries, it is higher than that. The uninjected are a really, really small part of the number of people who are dying and being hospitalized.
Bill Gates at the World Economic Forum, and this would have been this past winter, he commented himself, Bill Gates, Mr. Vaccine, on the worthlessness, get this, of the vaccine passports and bad vaccines, reported by attorney Jeff Childers on Coffee and COVID. The first thing Gates opined about was vaccine passports, which apparently are now out. I am shocked. Speaking at the World Economic Forum panel, Gates, looking thoughtful and throwing his hands up in frustration, ventured that, quote, the idea of checking if people are vaccinated, if you have breakthrough infection, what's the point? Then Gates made some other interesting comments as an expert on pandemics about how pathetic the current vaccines are. The author says, I'm not making that up, chuckling ruefully. Gates complained, quote, we should have much better therapeutics as we do come up with vaccines. We want vaccines that are infection blocking and long duration, which today the vaccines have saved millions of lives, but they don't have much in the way of duration, and they're not good at infection blocking. Okay, this is Mr. Vaccine talking here, saying the thing I believed in the most, not working so well.
Yes, and Fauci has now joined him by saying they're not very good. But it's not only that they're not good. I think that your listeners need to think about what are they doing to the body, and how about natural infection? So there are two new studies out that I would like to say something about, and that is there's one study which I think is in The Lancet, and they talked about vaccinated and unvaccinated. This is a study of both of them, and both of them, the subjects all got COVID. And the interesting thing about this particular study is with the vaccinated, only 40% of the people, when they got real COVID, actually seroconverted. In other words, got antibodies. Only 40% got antibodies after infection. But those who were unvaccinated, 93% got antibodies. Now, the other interesting thing about this is the length of time that the protection lasts. So another study came out and said that natural immunity and vaccination was fairly equal in their ability to protect against reinfection. And it wasn't equal. That was around the 50% level. And that was only for a while, because after a person has gotten their second shot, 6 months later, there's virtually no protection whatsoever. You have to get the booster. But here's the more interesting point about the study. The vaccine protection wanes really quickly. Whereas natural immunity that you get after you get the infection wanes very slowly.
Okay.
That's the difference. So this idea of getting injection after injection, it's just not going to last. It's not like tetanus where it lasts for 10 years. It's not. It's only very short-lived.
And there's the downside. There are some terrible, terrible side effects for some people.
Right.
I've talked to some folks who've had absolutely no reaction whatsoever, and others are having terribly serious issues, from blood clots to heart attacks. I'm going to play a clip in part two of my programming about the shocking increase in death among those 18 to 49. That would be for the year 2021 and what they're blaming it on. I'll get to that in part two. Say, folks, quick heads up. We have an Understanding the Times event coming up Thursday, August the 4th, here in the Twin Cities. Remember, all of these events every other month are live streamed to the whole world, and we have dozens of countries watching them, thankfully. And that would be live streamed at markhenryministries.com. We'll be having Michelle Bachman on Thursday, August the 4th. Revived Church, formerly Brooklyn Park Evangelical Free, for those of you in the Twin Cities. I realize most of you listening are around the country. Again, you can live stream it from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on August the 4th, and we will offer a DVD on it about a week later. We archive it at no cost at olivetreeviews.org. That's the Olive Tree website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to video. It'll be archived at markhenryministries.com and live streamed at markhenryministries.com. If you want to watch it live, submit questions that night. Mark Henry and I will be the co-hosts for the evening. Again, this is every other month, Understanding the Times, Thursday, August the 4th. Michelle Bachman, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. If you can't join us, other ways of participating, watching, post-program, getting the DVD, etc. We will be talking about some extremely cutting-edge and serious issues going on. I was just talking to Mark today. The problem is paring down all the topics we would like to cover that night because they are staggering right now as it concerns what on earth is happening and why is it happening and what does the Bible have to say about it. I'm coming back in just a moment, and I'm going to continue with Twyla Brace, Citizens Council for Health Freedom. I'll remind you about the downloadable COVID-19 quick reference guide. It's had over 100,000 downloads so far. It's got the answer to almost every question you might have about the subject matter. More in a moment. Don't go away. I'm coming right back.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries. Today, it is almost essential to have an eternal worldview, one eye on the earth and one on heaven. Do you wonder what happens when you die? If so, we recommend the book we carry by Dr. Ron Rhodes, What Happens After Life. You'll love the short, inspirational explanations of the Bible's most encouraging teachings about heaven. Each chapter is short enough to read in one sitting, and zeroes in on a single encouraging truth. You will quickly find your fears and doubts replaced with confidence in these truths. Life on earth is short, life in heaven is long, in fact, eternal. It therefore makes good sense for Christians to take a little time to ponder timeless truths about heaven and the afterlife. Find the book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Ask for Ron Rhodes' book, What Happens After Life, and be prepared to be encouraged and edified.
Why is it that all these people are suddenly dying starting in 2021? What is new? What is new is the vaccine, is the injection. That is what is new.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so catch Understanding the Times Radio at your convenience online. Watch the video version of the program or listen to the audio at olivetreeviews.org, then to complete archives. On YouTube, on Rumble, on LightSource, on our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now here are Jan Markell and Twyla Brace to wrap up today's programming.
And welcome back. And I have in studio with me for the hour, Twyla Brace. Again, learn more at cchfreedom.org. She is co-founder of Citizens Council on Health Freedom. And we were talking about a lot of things and still have an agenda in front of me. Because health issues changed our whole world in early 2020. A lot of mistakes were made. We're talking about some of that this hour. And I made the comment, Twyla, I referred to Bill Gates and the fact that he's saying, well, the things they put so much hope in, he's thrown up his hands and saying, it's not working. But you have another angle to this that is just as troubling. And if this is implemented, it's even more scary. And that's real ID. Talk about it.
So people are relieved now because the vax passport is not being required by facilities. And of course, just like Bill Gates said, it's ridiculous to even think about it because it doesn't matter whether you've been tested or anything. You can still get it. You can still give it. So they're relieved because they're saying that this whole ID system is going away, but it's not going away. And in every state of this nation, the state legislatures have implemented real ID. Now, not everybody has a real ID, and there's a May 3rd, 2023 deadline. It's been extended time after time because, one, it's expensive. It's an unfunded mandate for the states, and they can't totally pull it together. And two, there's a ton of people who do not want to recertify themselves as a citizen of this country with every piece of documentation that's required. So lots of people aren't doing it. And I would encourage everybody not to do it. Get a standard driver's license. Do not get a real ID. The real ID is a system that they do plan. It is a national ID system. It will be all pulled together, all of us in one national system. IDs have always come from the states. States have been in control of identification. States have been in control of driving. The real ID system took the states out of control and put the federal government in charge. There's a bunch of legislators in Missouri and in Pennsylvania that appealed to President Trump saying, this is a usurpation of states' rights. Do not let the Homeland Security do this. The really important thing to understand is this movement towards digital identification will come out of the real ID system. I believe Alaska has been considering maybe going back to taking over this function, and they should, and every state should. But the way that you can help them is to choose a standard ID, if you can, in your state. Not every state allows you to choose one, but if you can, choose a standard ID, not a real ID. Once enough people get a real ID, there will be rationale to turn and impose that system on absolutely everybody with no outs. So we must keep a standard ID and not a real ID. Do not get the gold star card or the bear card or whatever it is in your state. Get a standard driver's license and use your passport to fly. Anyone who's interested in real ID, go to our website, cchfreedom.org, and search real ID.
I want to move on, touch on another topic, and I gave a tease in part one, and I talked about this life insurance people. They're stating that this increase in death in people between 18 and 49, 40% increase, staggering, and I'd like to play a clip that talks about it and then come back and have a short discussion. And this clip may introduce, and if not, I want to bring it into our discussion, what's known as a SAD syndrome. Sudden adult death syndrome. Athletes are dying at 1,700% higher rate than, say, 4 or 5 years ago. Statistics like that, which are shocking. Let's play the clip, come back and talk about it.
U.S. life insurance companies have reported an overwhelming and unexplainable increase in all-cause deaths among 18 to 49-year-olds. Along with that, there's also been an increase in certain medical diagnoses, such as miscarriages and Bell's palsy. Here to give us her take on the new data and what she believes could be causing the rise in numbers is emergency medicine and disaster specialist, Dr. Kelly Victory. Dr. Victory, good morning. Great to talk to you as always.
Good morning, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we want to make sure that anytime we talk, we want to make sure the information that we have is accurate. So let's start this interview by telling us, I've seen your correspondence here, what is the source of the information that you're about to present?
Well, this information became available to me or on my radar last week following a hearing with Senator Ron Johnson, who was looking at sort of what he calls a second opinion on the entire response to the COVID pandemic. The medical data was released by three career military physicians who got the information from the military database that collects what we call ICD codes, which are the diagnosis codes. And these physicians had a feeling, they believed based on their own observation, that they were seeing a significant uptick in certain conditions. So they actually went back and culled the database from the military on certain conditions over a five-year period from 2016 through 2020. Notably containing 1 year, 2020, of the full-blown pandemic. So they looked at 2016, 17, 18, 19, and 20 at the prevalence of certain conditions, including things like heart attack, blood clots to the lung, miscarriages, those sorts of things. And they compared it to the incidence of those same things in the calendar year 2021 and saw an alarming increase in certain things. For example, they saw a 270% increase in myocardial infarction in 2021, a 300% increase in incidence of Bell's palsy and of certain neurologic complaints, a 470% increase in pulmonary embolisms, blood clots to the lungs, and many, many other huge increases that they found alarming. Now, no one is saying with any certainty, Jason, what is causing this, but we certainly would be remiss as scientists if we didn't look at that and say, there is something going on. What happened in 2021 that was so different from the previous five-year average that would cause this massive increase in certain medical conditions?
So the source of the information is several U.S. life insurance companies that have been reporting this, correct? And these three career physicians that you referred to.
Well, yes, they are separate groups of data. Jason, the previous study from the U.S. life insurance companies, many of them were reporting a 40% increase in deaths from all causes in the 18 to 49-year-old group. They know that because these are life insurance companies that provide group life insurance policies to employers. So these are working age individuals with a 40% increase in all-cause deaths. That was a different report from this bombshell that came out last week from, as I said, three career military physicians who are culling a military database. So they are two groups of data that show, again, that something is going on. And the question is what? What has changed in calendar year 2021 that is causing, number one, an increase in all-cause deaths, as reported by the life insurance companies, and an increase in certain medical conditions, such as heart attacks, blood clots to the lungs, congenital malformations of children born that year, female infertility, and those sorts of things.
Did these three career military physicians offer any type of speculation?
They did not, but they did not do this anonymously. They signed an affidavit on this. I have not seen the raw data. I'm not a military physician. I don't have access to that database, but I don't have any reason to believe at this juncture that the data is in question. These are, again, based on ICD codes. And I should make it clear because it's very easy to make statistics of these sorts deceptive. So when I say that there's a 300% increase, for example, in cancers is what they found. This wasn't an increase from one case to four cases. In the case of cancer, for example, it was an increase from an average, a five-year average of 38,000 cases per year to almost 120,000 cases in calendar year 2021. And actually, it wasn't even a full year. It was more like 11 months worth of data. And it was almost up to 120,000 cases of cancer. So the question is, what would cause that? Obviously, there's some conjecture amongst people that it could be the COVID vaccines. That has yet to be proven. But again, we would be remiss if we said that we couldn't consider that. Maybe it's climate change. I don't know. But I sure as heck do know that we better be paying attention to it. Because real science, Jason, real science requires us to be intellectually curious. It requires us to ask the uncomfortable question and to look at data, even if that data makes us question previously held convictions. And so if we aren't able to look at this data, if we are silenced and shut down, and I can tell you, I posted a tweet about it yesterday after the data became clear to me that there was something going on. I simply posted as, wow, what's going on here? And the amount of vitriol that single tweet generated was really quite stunning. The number of people who tweeted back that I should lose my medical license, that I should be kicked off Twitter, that I should be reported to the authorities is really alarming. The idea that people are so fearful of looking at actual data and asking the question, what is going on, is really a dangerous place for us.
Twyla Brace, what is going on? And we can throw in here sudden adult death syndrome, SADS. What is going on?
likely what is going on without being concrete about it. That's Dr. Victory, and she's not going to say exactly what's going on. But the fact of the matter, I look at what Dr. Charles Huff found out in his patients after vaccination. He just decided to do his own little study. Like you said, it's not peer-reviewed. He just started asking his patients who have been injected to come in within 7 to 10 days afterwards, and he would do a D-dimer test on them. Well, the only thing the D-dimer test does is say whether or not your body is clotting. There's no reason for anybody's body to clot, and we don't want our bodies right. to clot. The only time our body should clot is when we've scratched ourselves on the outside or we've lacerated ourselves, and we want those clots to happen because that's what will stop bleeding. But inside your body, clots stop your blood from running. They cause emboli. They shoot up clots to your brain and they cause heart infarction. This is not a good thing. He found 62% of the people that he tested who had been vaccinated had positive D-dimer tests. Nobody wants a positive D-dimer test. This likely means that there's microclotting that's happening in the body, or there could be major clotting. Clearly not major clotting in his patients because they were walking in, they were going home, they were not having major problems. But we already know that the J&J caused blood clots that caused people to actually die. If this sudden adult death syndrome has to do with clotting or has to do with blood clots that go to the heart and the heart stops, these sudden heart attacks, is it from clotting? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is 62% of a positive D-dimer is a bad thing. Nobody's actually saying this is the problem, but it is strange that we now have this new sudden adult death syndrome. What is the reason? Just like Dr. Victory says, shouldn't we look? Why is it that all these people are suddenly dying starting in 2021? What is new? What is new is the vaccine, is the injection. That is what is new.
You have said in previous programs and in things you write that the shot, I'm calling it the shot, interferes with natural immunity. Is that a proven fact?
As I said, that one study shows that the vaccinated, when they get COVID, only 40% of them get antibodies versus the ones who have not been vaccinated, that 93%.
Correct.
So that to me is an interference with the immune system.
Going back to Moderna's CEO, he says this. This was at Davos. Again, that would have been recently. Quote, it's sad to say I'm in the process of throwing away 30 million doses in the garbage because nobody wants them. We have a big demand problem. We right now are trying to get demand up in the countries. We've contacted so many governments. Nobody wants to take them. The Chinese don't want the mRNA vaccine. The issue in many countries is people don't want vaccine. The U.S. people don't want vaccine. Again, that's Mr. Bancel, B-A-N-C-E-L, Moderna's CEO. We've covered this in part one of our program, but that doesn't mean they're going to stop trying to force things on us.
The new thing that should be scary to the American public is that the FDA has approved the request from Pfizer and Moderna to edit the current vaccines in order to deal with the variants. But they're saying they don't want to do any clinical trials as to how it will impact the American people. We have no idea how they would change these injections, but the FDA has said, fine, go ahead. We'll just encourage people to take them in the arm. They're doing whatever they can to try to get people to take this injection in hopes of avoiding COVID when we already know it's not going to avoid COVID. There's no way to avoid COVID. More people are getting hospitalized and dying still from COVID, even though they have been vaccinated. Yeah. So we don't know exactly what the pharmaceutical companies are going to do, but they are going to continue to push the injections and saying that they're going to continue to help you once you get COVID.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio, because we both live in the now famous Twin Cities, Twyla Brace, co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, cchfreedom.org. And if you'll go there, you'll find it right away. COVID-19 Quick Reference Guide, immediate steps to reduce your risk of COVID-19 and, quote, long haul COVID disease. A lot of people have found tremendous help in that little booklet. How many pages, Twyla? About 15? 10?
Yeah, probably.
You'll have to download it from the website. I want to refer, though, here, follow the COVID money, Dr. Jeffrey Bark, American Thinker article. If the vaccinations are proving to be ineffective in stopping the march of the disease, are they really worth what the federal government is paying the pharmaceutical industry to manufacture, distribute, and administer them? Is the public being played for suckers by a cabal of industry giants and their friends in the medical bureaucracies? Just consider a few facts. The pharmaceutical industry is said to spend $5.2 billion annually on television advertising aimed primarily at the consumer. It poured another $9.53 billion into digital advertising aimed at consumers and industry in 2020. This total of nearly $15 billion spent by Big Pharma on advertising is more than twice what is spent on new cancer drug research. In fact, 9 out of 10 of the largest pharmaceutical companies in America spend more on advertising than on research and development. This isn't speculation. It's big money. Pfizer expects $32 billion in COVID vaccine sales in 2022. Moderna is forecasting $19 billion in COVID sales, with the vaccine being its only current commercial product. Again, there have been at least 9 new billionaires created in the vaccine world as a result of COVID-19. You have a comment, Twyla Brace?
I am just thinking of how Jessica Rose, who has multiple titles behind her name in virology and computational analytics, she took a look at the vaccine adverse events reporting database, and she said that if you looked at any other vaccine, they would stop the vaccine after 50 deaths. That is the highest that they have ever gone. They've just blown past that because it's now in the tens of thousands of deaths that have been reported from these COVID shots, and yet the push is on. One of the reasons perhaps that the government has chosen not to is because all of the money and the royalties that the government employees themselves get. So Fauci is getting something. Mm-hmm. I believe Redfield's getting something. I don't know if Burke's got anything. There's a list of names of people that are getting money directly from the pharmaceutical companies, but there is no actual amount. So that has been redacted from the people who have actually secured the names of the people getting these payments from the pharmaceutical company. Perhaps that is the reason why the COVID shot is just continuing on despite the reports of deaths. So this is very much a cabal, but also the government is very self-interested in the injections continuing.
You and I talked briefly when you came in, because now the push is for babies and toddlers to get this put into their system. Play a quick clip here. It happens to be Tucker Carlson and Dr. Marty McCary.
Parents are wondering, should we give this to our toddler? How do we find the answer? Virtually every news show in America seems to be sponsored by Pfizer, so clearly turning on television is not going to give you an answer you can trust. You need to find an independent, science-minded researcher or physician who's looked at the actual data. And there are very few who've done that and are willing to be honest about it. Marty McCary of Johns Hopkins University is one of them. He's just written a remarkable piece in Barry Weiss's Substack, and he wrote it with epidemiologist Tracy Hoag. McCary and Hoag found that Pfizer and Moderna provided, and we're quoting, extremely weak, inconclusive data to justify vaccinating children as young as 6 months in the United States. Quote, using a three-dose vaccine in 992 children between the ages of 6 months and 5 years, Pfizer found no statistically significant evidence of vaccine efficacy, they wrote. In the subgroup of children aged 6 months to 2 years, the trial found that the vaccine could result in a 99% lower chance of infection, but that they also have a 370% increased chance of being infected. What does that mean? We have no idea. We don't know how you would know, because those data are completely incoherent. They do not present a picture that suggests a path forward. They're inherently confusing. Meanwhile, Moderna, quote, claimed a very weak vaccine efficacy of just 4% in children aged 6 months to 2 years. That is not a statistically significant result either. So based on those numbers, and apparently those are the underlying numbers, how could the Biden administration, how could the people who run public health in the United States of America push for the immediate vaccination of children over the ages of 6 months? We need to assess what exactly these data are and why public health agencies seem to be ignoring them. Marty McCary, as we told you, is a professor of public health at Johns Hopkins University. He wrote the piece we just referred to, and we're honored to have him on tonight. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on. Thank you for taking a look at the numbers behind this. Unless we've just mischaracterized them, they don't sound like the basis for a recommendation for universal toddler vaccination.
That's exactly right, Tucker. It wouldn't even get published in a medical journal with peer review. It wouldn't go through the process. It would get rejected. Now, doctors everywhere in the world, even in the government, should always be free to speak up about their public health concerns. That is a sacred right that we have to guard. But right now, in the government, recently, and this is a trend in the last year, doctors are muzzled. I've talked to many doctors for this piece at NIH and CDC who are extremely frustrated. They're smart people. They know that a vaccine efficacy of 4% doesn't warrant an authorization. They also know that there's no health emergency right now among kids 6 months of age. So I learned a lot. They know the underlying data. They know it's inappropriate. They're not allowed to speak to anyone. If a reporter calls, the communications office has to approve the conversation. And if they want to ask the scientist whether or not they want to do this, they'll say, tell us what you're going to tell the reporter, and then we'll decide whether or not to approve it. At the CDC, a bunch of scientists actually said, look, we recognize the insanity of mass testing, trying to chase down every case of the virus in the United States. It's ubiquitous now. It's not contained. So they came up with a plan to use sampling data like we do with influenza every year and to get better numbers from the hospital of those truly in there for COVID, not just everybody with incidental COVID tests. And that plan was proposed and it was rejected, and they say it was rejected by the White House. And over in the different agencies, I heard from smart people who were just extremely frustrated that not only are they bypassing the normal scientific process, but you really can't say anything because if they do, they know that their jobs are at risk and they'll be treated very differently. One person even said, there's no transparency as to how Dr. Fauci makes his decisions. He doesn't even consult with the real experts. And other people have said other things like it's demoralizing. That one person at the FDA who knows the data really well said that they feel that they're watching a horror show and they can't close their eyes. They're being forced to watch this.
Okay, Twyla Brace, your comment, then we want to promote a couple of things in your outreach.
I'll just add to this that there are 76 doctors in the UK that signed a letter to the health authorities in the UK after the FDA made this decision that said it was okay to vaccinate children down to 6 months. And they told the UK authorities, do not do this. And they mentioned in their letter not only the bad data, as Dr. McGarry mentioned, but also the fact that the country of Denmark said the decision to vaccinate children was a mistake. One thing I wonder if those who choose to inject their children, I wonder if we'll get a higher rate of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Now we've got this new thing about sudden adult death syndrome. Are we going to have higher rates of SIDS? That would be a tragedy.
Very well said. We want to promote a couple of things here. First of all, you've got your September 15th activity. That's going to be a fundraiser. Why don't you give it a minute or two?
We have our annual fundraiser, which is one of our biggest fundraising events, and we appreciate everybody who comes to help support our organization. This year, we are having General Michael T. Flynn. The name of the event is The Unapologetic Defense of Liberty, Building a Free Market Framework for Healthcare. This is our annual fundraising dinner. It's Thursday, September 15th. It starts at 6:30. Table sponsorships are available, and we always appreciate everybody who buys a table. Jan is going to sit as a special guest at my table, and my table is going to also include a home-baked cake.
Do I get to take it home? I hope so.
And then you can just find it on our website, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org, and we hope that you will join us there.
You've got a fantastic billboard campaign going on, and it's in several states. This is not a Minnesota-only organization, folks.
Correct.
Twyla's got huge national reach. You can hear her minute special on lots of radio stations. You're on as many as I'm on, maybe almost 900. The Wedge. Give us a minute. It's important. People need to know about it.
As I said, building a new framework for health freedom, and the Wedge is part of it. The Wedge of Health Freedom was launched in 2016. It is all cash, check, and charge, doctors and practices, and we now have 4 pharmacies that are cash-based only. This is the way we think healthcare should happen, because it puts all the money with traditional insurance that pays the patient, puts all the money in the patient's hands, keeps all the outsiders out, keeps all the outside costs out, makes it more affordable, patient-centered. We are having a billboard. Our very first billboard will be in the Twin Cities on I-94 on the way to the State Fair. It will be advertising the Wedge, which is a place of independent doctors for all patients. It doesn't matter if you're in Medicare or on a health plan. You can come and have a doctor who looks at you as the only one that they're working for. You can find out more about The Wedge at jointhewedge.com.
Jointhewedge.com. You want to give your phone number?
Sure. It is 651-646-8935. 651-646-8935.
Folks, that's how you get a hold of the organization. You can learn more about the Wedge, the Fall Banquet. Download the COVID-19 Quick Reference Guide, Immediate Steps to Reduce Your Risk of COVID-19 and the Long Haul COVID Disease. I'm going to go out of the program. I'm just going to give a couple of Bible verses, folks. And the Bible verses come under the category of when you need direction. And I think after an hour like this, some of you are saying, I do need some direction. Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Lastly, Psalm 37:23, the steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. I want to thank you for listening, folks. We'll talk to you again next week.
You are the love song we'll sing forever.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We encourage you to always look up and not around if you are to remain hopeful. Events foretold in the Bible are breaking daily. We can run from reality or recognize that God is allowing these events to take place so that everything will fall into place.